This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 140.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about whether you should put your prices on your website. But before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, ResponseSource. ResponseSource is a media inquiry service that puts journalists who are looking for help with stories in touch with people who want to be featured in the media. So that's people like you. And if you subscribe to ResponseSource, you'll get dozens of emails in your inbox every day from journalists from the likes of the BBC, The Guardian, and Grazia magazine. So there's no need to write press releases or pitches to journalists. You simply reply to the messages in your inbox. Now, using ResponseSource has resulted in some fantastic coverage for the clients that I work with. And one example that comes to mind is Kate Beavis, an expert in vintage style who's recently been featured in the Daily Mail, in Top Sante magazine and the Metro newspaper, simply from replying to a few emails. So if you'd like to find out if ResponseSource could help you to get press coverage for your business and have a free trial of the service, then head over to responsesource.com/Janet Murray. That's responsesource.com/Janet Murray, and I'll also put a link to that in the show notes. And now, on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be talking about whether you should put your costs and prices on your website. Now, this is an episode that I've wanted to create for a while, but something happened that inspired me to do it sooner rather than later, and it's this. So I've recently had my house redecorated. We've had it painted every single room. It's been really disruptive, but it's finally finished. So now we're moving on to the windows. Now, I live in a 1930s semi-detached house, which had these really awkward bay windows, and it's really difficult to get curtain poles that stay up, and any curtains you put up, they tend to fall down and not look very nice. So I thought, right, I've spent all this money on getting the house painted. Why don't we invest in some really nice blinds or shutters? And I was particularly interested in these shutters because I thought, well, it might cost a bit more, but it'll last longer and will look nicer and be much lighter. So had absolutely no idea where or how much these shutter things would cost. So my first thought was to go to a local business. I've lived in the area for a long time, called Simon Lancaster, who I know do curtains and they do blinds and they do shutters. So I thought, right, okay, I'll go in their website and see what they offer. Went on the website and had information about their products, but absolutely no prices whatsoever, and just a number to call for an appointment. So I rang the number, and basically it took 4 phone calls back and forth. We kept missing each other for me to actually get the woman on the phone to talk to her about an appointment. No prices on the website whatsoever. And this is how the conversation went. So she says, hi, right, I believe you want to book in for Simon to come out and see you and measure up your windows for shutters. And I'm like, hang on a minute. The first thing I need to know is how much this is going to cost me. And immediately she says, oh, well, you know, it's impossible to say. All windows are different, all houses different. And I'm like, well, look, this is a big investment. I absolutely have no idea how much these shutters cost. It may well be it's out of budget completely. So before you come out to me, then I really do need to know. I don't want to waste your time, and I'm sure you don't want to waste my time. I really do need to just get an idea of how much we're talking. She still said, no, 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 it's just not possible. Every house is different. And, you know, there's no obligation. It's completely free. Simon will come out and show you the shutters. And I said to her, look, I don't want him to come out and show me the shutters. I hate doing this kind of thing. I said, I don't want to waste a morning looking at these products if it's out of my budget. I really need to know. So after quite a bit of pushing, she eventually relented. And also after me saying, come on, I expect you've probably put shutters in house on my road. Maybe you can just let me know, you know, ballpark figure how much that was. Eventually she relented and she gave me a price per square meter. So I was able to make a decision as to whether it was in budget, and it was kind of in budget, a top end of the budget, but I was thinking, well, it might be doable, so it's definitely worth having him come out and measure up and give us a price. But I was only able to make that decision and agree for him to come out when she'd given me the price, because I didn't want to waste a morning looking at shutters. I didn't want the embarrassment of him giving us a price and just saying, sorry, it's just totally out of our league. but she was very, very reluctant to do so. Now, I share that story because I think it's typical of how lots of us feel when we're buyers. We just want to know how much, because we've got a budget and we might be able to slightly tweak that budget. There might be a little bit of wiggle room, but we basically know how much we want to spend and what we can afford. And nothing really that anybody says or does is going to change that. And so many times during that week when I was trying to phone and they were trying to phone them and that conversation happened with the lady, so many times I almost gave up. And the only reason I didn't give up was because I couldn't think of anywhere else in the area that did anything like that. And the little bit of Googling that I'd done hadn't really thrown up that much useful information. But so many times I just thought, oh, do you know what? I think I'm just going to go to IKEA and get another dodgy curtain pole. And for them, that's potentially, by the sounds of it, thousands of pounds potentially. So I share that because I just think so often we know as customers how we want to be treated when it comes to prices and costs. But when we look at it from this perspective of being a business owner, we get quite scared and we get quite worried about what might happen if we share our prices. So we know how we like to be treated. We know how we like to be educated about the products that we buy, but we get nervous when it's us. So what I want to do in this episode is share the most common objections that I hear from people to putting costs and prices on their websites, and then give you some reasons why I think you should do it. So the first objection I hear a lot is this one, and this is actually a direct quote from somebody in my Facebook group. I'm afraid it will deter clients before I've given them my pitch and had a chance to wow them. But here's the thing. Most of us have a budget in mind, what we want to spend. Like I say, there may be a little bit of wiggle room, but we know how much we can afford, how much we want to spend, and nothing anybody could say or do is going to change that. So why do you think that your customers would be any different? Somebody is not going to pay double just because you managed to sweet talk them. They're not going to pay what they can't afford because they're on the phone to you or you're sitting in front of them. All you can hope for is that maybe they might go slightly over the budget. So why not cut out all of the rubbish and just cut to the chase and give them the price? And, you know, this also will deter time wasters. So people who want to get on the phone or want to have a meeting with you and haven't actually got the budget for what you've got to offer. And I'll give you an example of this. It's something that happened to me. So I was quite interested in working with somebody as a business coach. And when I got in touch to inquire about it, I was told that I needed to have a consultation with her first. And at the end of the consultation, she would say whether she thought I was suitable to work with her or not. And I guess that's a kind of sales technique and a vetting technique. It may be genuine. It may just be a kind of like sales technique. I don't know why I didn't question this and why I didn't just say, look, give me the price up front. I've got no idea. But for whatever reason, I didn't. So I found myself on this call with this lady. And I think she would be a fantastic coach for me. She was amazing. I would love to work with her. But we got to the end of the call and there was still this big elephant in the room, and that was around cost. And there was a big reveal at the end when she said how much it was. And my heart just kind of sank because as much as I wanted to work with her, it was over £10,000. And I'm not saying that she's not worth it or that it's not worth spending that amount on coaching, because I actually do believe that it is worth spending money on things like that. But at the time, I just did not have the budget for it. So that was the end of that. We both pretty much wasted an hour on the phone and we could have been doing other things. So I think it's just really worth reminding yourself of that. People do have a budget in mind. They might have a little bit of flexibility, but nothing that you can say or do is going to make them, it's going to wow them so much that they're going to spend double or even 25%. So the second objection that I hear a lot is, if I put my costs and prices on my website, then my competitors will know what I charge and they will try and undercut me. So they might try and undercut you, but do you really think your competitors can't find out your prices at the moment? If I wanted to find out how much one of my competitors charged, it wouldn't be difficult. I would just either ring up and pretend to be somebody else, or I'd get my mum to do it or one of my friends to do it. Bit more effort, but I could get that information really, really easily. And for me, this feels like an opportunity rather than a problem. What if you were to take all of the prices of your competitors and put them together in some kind of infographic and compare the cost, but not just the cost, but also the different features? And to give you an example of this, so I was recently shopping for travel insurance and I was using one of these comparison sites. And so I put in all my details and for me, I start off with one premium, and then as soon as I put all my medical history in, then suddenly it sort of jumps up. But basically, I was given a range of prices from about £130 right up to £600 for a family travel policy. Now, I didn't just immediately buy the £126 one, whatever it was. I compared the different features and the different benefits. So I had a look at the excess. So how much would I have to pay up front on each one? If I did need to make a claim, I looked at what was included in the policy and what wasn't included in the policy. I ended up going for something which is kind of like middle of the road. So I think we tend to make an assumption that people will always go for the cheapest option. But if we take the time to actually show them what's involved, what the benefits are, what kind of value they will get, we can actually find that they're willing to spend more if we're only willing to spend time educating them. So rather than seeing it as a bad thing, actually, could this be an opportunity for you to maybe collect all the prices of your competitors and what they offer and do some kind of comparison that's actually really helpful to your customers? And in that way, you're positioning yourself as an expert. So the next objection that I hear a lot is that it's too complicated and my clients are just all different and their businesses are all different. I couldn't possibly come up with anything that could cover them all. And there's no nice way of saying this, but I just think that's absolutely rubbish. I think all of us, if we took the time, took an afternoon out or took a few hours out, could sit down and map out the typical kind of activities that we do for our clients and we could turn it into some kind of package. So let me explain. So I tend to explain it a little bit like when you go to the Chinese restaurant. So you have a set menu, and on that set menu you have menu A, which tends to have, you know, your most cheapest ingredients, and then up to menu B, your sort of middle of the road, might have some duck in there, and then you have menu C, which might have your steak and more expensive ingredients in there. But you've also got an a la carte menu. So if there's a particular dish that you like and it's not in the set menu, then you can order that as well. And what you usually find when you go to a Chinese restaurant is that if you look at menu A and you like it, but there's something on menu B that you would prefer and you say, oh, is it okay if I swap out the crispy duck wings with the black bean sauce and chicken or whatever, then there's usually a little bit of flexibility as long as you're not trying to swap the steak with the egg fried rice or something like that. And that's really how I think you should approach this. So if you sit down and make a list of all the typical things that you do for your clients, and all the typical kind of services that you're asked to provide, you will tend to find that they fall into three, often it is three areas. So they're kind of, you know, easy things that don't take very long, more complicated things. There might be different ways that you might want to organize it. So it could be about the time that it takes you, or it could be about the number of pages. And typically, actually, the businesses where I find they have the most resistance to putting together packages like this, they're typically the ones that need it the most. So people like copywriters, writers, designers, and web designers. And these are often the people that actually take on projects, they quote a price for it, and they expect to spend a week on it and end up spending 6 weeks on it. So this is really as much about protect, as well as communicating with your prospective clients and being clear and being honest and upfront with them. But it's also about protecting yourself as well and making sure that, you know, when you take on a client, that they don't basically abuse your trust and they don't try and take more than what's on offer. So if you are in one of those industries, just to give you an example of how I might approach it. So say, for example, you are a copywriter, you might say, well, you know, the typical things, you know, easy things that take me half a day or a day are writing brochures or writing sales pages or rewriting pages on websites. So for option A, I could offer to write up to so many pages. I could give a 15-minute consultation call and up to so many revisions. And I think that's a really crucial thing if you have a business like that, because you can take on a client and think a project might take you a week, but by the time you handle their 65 revisions that they've got, it's taken you 6 weeks. So I think that's something that's really important to agree the parameters of. And that's where your a la carte menu comes in, because you can say, okay, as part of your package, you pay this much, I spend these many days on it. If you want more revisions, it will be £50 per revision or something like that. And when I was getting my book published, the lady that helped me with my formatting, that's how she worked. And it's fair enough. You know, she, as part of her price, she had X number of revisions. If I wanted extra, I had to pay for them. And I think that's perfectly reasonable. So for your option B, as a copywriter, you might say you'll do a longer sales page, or you might do 8 pages of a website or something. You'll offer a longer consultation call and maybe more revisions. And for your premium, your option C version, it could be about rewriting the copy for a whole website or, you know, a lot more pages or something like that. It's really up to you how you set out the parameters. But I think it's really important that you just kind of like, that you move away from that space where you're saying it's impossible and thinking, well, how could I do this? How could I turn this into a menu? And how could I protect myself by having parameters, by having a fixed number of revisions or edits that I'll do or changes that I'll do, and then having another menu where people can pay for additional things. And you may think, oh, well, people would find that off-putting because, you know, if I charge them X amount for a website and then they found out later on that, you know, they were going to have to pay more money for revisions. Well, they're not going to find out later on because you're going to communicate all of that up front. But so this is really just as much about communicating with your clients as protecting you and making sure that you're not taking on projects which take you a lot longer than you should do, and being fair as well, because if you're in that kind of industry and you're in design or writing or something like that, often you can find that clients take advantage of you. But if you've created some really clear packages which explain what you offer and what the parameters are, then you'll find that your life is a lot easier as a result. And I challenge anybody listening to this episode who couldn't sit down and try and work out some kind of packages. And I think if you can't, if you sit down and try and do it and you really, really can't, then that would tell me that you're offering too much. And people love specialists. So people don't want to work with jacks of all trades, people who do a little bit of copywriting, a little bit of web design, a little bit of design, a little bit of consulting. People love experts. So if you try this and you're really struggling to put together some kind of package with the a la carte menu on the side, then I think that's telling you that you're probably offering too much and you need to slim down your offerings, in fact. So it could be a problem with the way that you've set up your business rather than it being impossible for you to put together a menu. And to help you out on this, I've created a free content upgrade to go with this episode, which is basically a swipe file. So I've always, when I've worked with consultancy clients, I don't do it very often, but I've always had packages that they can pick from. In my case, it's organized into 2, 3, or 4 days, and there's a set number of tasks that I will support them with for each one. And so I'm going to give this away to you as a swipe file, and you could use this as a starting point for creating your own resource. So they're the main reasons that I hear from people, the main objections that I hear from people when it comes to putting costs and prices on their website. So now I'm going to run through the reasons that I think you should do it. So first off, and I absolutely love this phrase, I got this from Nikki Hollier, who, if you're listening, hello, Nikki, but it deters tire kickers. So these are people who just want to get on the phone with you, just want to take up your time in a meeting to basically get free advice or free consultancy. So if you've got the costs on your website, then they can make a decision straight away as to whether they can afford it or not, and whether they want to take their inquiry any further. And by deterring those people who are just going to waste your time, it actually frees you up to spend more time with qualified leads and your customers. So the second benefit of putting your costs on your website is it actually gives you an advantage over your competitors. Think about it from your own point of view. Are you much more likely to spend time on the website of somebody who provides a service or a product where they have all their prices, or somebody that doesn't? If you don't have them on your website, then your prospective customer will go off and have a look and see if he can find somebody who has. So why not just get in there first and make sure you've got them on your website? The next reason for having your prices on your website is that search engines will love you. So Marcus Sheridan, who I interviewed in episode 127, he's a content marketing expert, and he explained how things worked for the website of his fiberglass swimming pools. Now, fiberglass swimming pools are not cheap. They're not something that people buy on a whim. They certainly do their research. And he explained to me that when it came to search terms, they got the most traffic from fiberglass pool cost, or the phrase, how much does a fiberglass pool cost? So people were searching for general information on fiberglass pools. And because he created content on that, then they were coming to his website. And as a result, if you search those terms, then his website pops up right at the top of Google. And you couldn't really have better than that, could you? The other thing to think about is that people will appreciate your honesty. So when it comes to business, honesty and trust is so, so important. And I think if people see that you're willing to share your prices, you're willing to be open, then they're going to trust you more, which is a great basis for a business relationship. And finally, when you share your costs and prices on your website, it means that people don't get any surprises. Another example of something that happened to me was we had a new kitchen fitted last year. And we went to the DIY shop, B&Q, and we sat there with this guy, and I was terribly bored because I find things like this so, so boring. But we sat there for the best part of a couple of hours with him while he went through our requirements and did a plan. And then it was a little bit like the coaching example. There was a big sort of drum roll and reveal. And then he said it was £18,500. Now, that was way over the budget that I wanted to pay and felt that we should pay. We just kind of looked at him at the end, and it was one of these kind of like really awkward moments where he could probably tell by my face that I just was not remotely interested in paying that for my kitchen and didn't think that I should do. We went to IKEA and we got our kitchen for half the price. And it just felt like it was just a complete waste of time. Why had we sat there for the whole time? Why had he not started off the conversation asking us what our budget was and what requirements we had, and then maybe said, well, look, I think you're going to be looking at this kind of price for your kitchen approximately. Is it worth us going ahead? We all wasted our time in that situation. So I hope you found that useful, and I hope you found some compelling reasons why you might want to share your costs and prices on your website. There's a few other podcast episodes that you might want to listen to if you want to know more. So there's episode 127 with Marcus Sheridan. Episode 119 with Kate McQuillan. So we talk a little bit about this kind of area on that episode. And also episode 134, 6 types of blog posts you should be creating regularly. And I talk a little bit about why you should be creating content around how much things cost in your business. As ever, I love hearing from you. So do drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk. Or you can tweet me @Jan_Murray, or you can find me over on Instagram. And do go over to the show notes because I've got a free content upgrade for you, which is a swipe file of what I use to put together my packages. And you can basically just take the text and adapt it for your own business. So do let me know how you get on with that.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.